5 days after former police officers were charged with murder in the death of Tyre Nichols, the brutal circumstances that led to his death have renewed conversations around the country about policing, the use of force, and related issues. We're going to spend some time on that again tonight, starting with new attention around elite police units.
Five of the officers charged in the death of Tyre Nichols were members of one of those specialized police forces known as the Scorpion Unit. It was created a little over a year ago to address rising crime. Over the weekend, the Memphis Police Department announced the Scorpion team had been disbanded, all of it raising questions about the effectiveness of these special police units. Radley Balco is the author of Rise of the Warrior Cop, The Militarization of America's Police Forces, and the criminal justice newsletter, The Watch. Radley Balco, welcome to the NewsHour.
Thanks for having me on.
We spoke with Ben Crump, the attorney for Tyre Nichols' family, on this program yesterday, and he said of the now disbanded Scorpion Unit that when you watch the video and you watch how nonchalantly they acted while Tyre Nichols was on the ground in distress, fighting for his life, Crump said that that spoke to what appeared to him to be business as usual for this unit. What does that suggest about how these units are trained and how they operate?
Well, I don't know what it tells us about how they're trained. What it does tell us is that these units are, that they are designed to suppress crime basically at any cost. I agree with Mr. Crump. I mean, if you watch that video, horrifying as it is, I mean, there's an almost sort of casualness to the way they go about beating Tyre Nichols. At one point, one of them stops and ties his shoes. They catch their breath. They help one officer find his glasses. You know, it's one thing for police officers to get caught up in the moment, to have sort of a rush of adrenaline and, you know, maybe make bad decisions. This was extended. It was over a long period of time. And so I think what that tells us is that while these are supposed to be elite police units, they're supposed to be the best of the best, they end up actually concentrating some of the worst aspects of policing, which is abuse, excessive force, and this kind of militaristic attitude of seeing sort of the people they're supposed to be serving as an enemy, a very sort of us versus them mentality to the and approach to the job.
Tell me more about that, because you wrote an opinion piece for the New York Times this past week, and you quoted a retired LA deputy police chief and former SWAT officer who said to you, "The guys who really want to be on the SWAT team are the last people you should be putting on the SWAT team."
Yeah, so I think, you know, when you name it, when you created one of these elite or so-called elite police units and you call them the Scorpions, right, or you give them some other, you know, intimidating name that we've seen in other cities, you're doing two things. One is you are creating fear among the people that those units are going to be serving and then the neighborhoods where those units are going to be serving. And you're attracting police officers who want to be feared. I think if you're a community-oriented police officer who wants to help people in your neighborhood, you're not going to be, you know, enticed or excited to join a group called Scorpion.
It strikes me that Memphis was among the police departments that reviewed and revised its policies after the police killing of George Floyd. They instituted a ban on chokeholds. They instituted de-escalation policies. Of course, none of that mattered when Tyre Nichols was pulled over on January 7th. But it speaks to this question of, can a culture like the one that existed in this unit, can that be reformed?
So, yeah, I don't think it can be reformed when it comes to these units, because the entire point of these units, they're formed when crime goes up and when politicians or police officials feel like they have to do something to show that they're taking crime seriously. And so there's this kind of knee-jerk instinct to say, well, what we need to do is we need to supervise police less. We need to give them more freedom. More leeway. We need to tell them to be more aggressive, and we need to kind of, you know, look the other way when they bend or break the rules. And, you know, I think that we've seen the story play out over and over again. In my New York Times piece, I go into the history of these units and, you know, LA, Chicago, Baltimore, Newark, Indianapolis. I mean, in cities across the country, when they've instituted one of these units, they've inevitably run into problems. And sometimes they've pretty massive scandals, particularly in places like LA, Chicago, and most recently in Baltimore with their gun crimes task force.
So what then is a better approach? Because according to FBI data, Memphis was, I think, the most violent metropolitan area in the U.S. in the year 2020. The following year, 2021, they had a record number of murders. So what are elected officials in Memphis? What is the police chief in Memphis? What are they to do?
Well, you know, I mean, we don't know exactly what stops crime. We don't know what causes crime for the most part. But, you know, one thing that does seem pretty intuitive is that you have to have trust from the communities that you serve. When, you know, if you look at where some of those violent cities in America, these are also cities where there have been long histories of police misconduct and, you know, documented reports from DOJ and other agencies and organizations outlining long histories of police abuse, misconduct, and racism. Places like, you know, Cleveland, St. Louis, Chicago, Baltimore. I mean, if you're in Memphis, I don't think you're going to want to, you know, one of these, anything that might succeed the Scorpion units patrolling your neighborhood, because that sense of trust has been broken.
Bradley Balco, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.